Morning. Good to see everyone excited about this nice, beautiful spring day. Good to see everyone out. If you're a visitor, I'd like to welcome you to New Harmony Baptist Church. We're glad to have you. If you're coming again, you won't be a visitor any longer. I've got to announce this first because I am terrible to forget. But East Heflin has sent us something, and we'll talk about it between now and then. But on April 28th at 3 o'clock, from 3 to 7:30, they're having a My Secure Family Worship. It's equipping parents and leaders to protect children in the digital age. And those of y'all that have children know that we're truly living in a digital age. If you don't believe me, ride down the road with them, and you'll find out that they're like this the whole time. But the speakers that's going to be there is Trey Lovren and his wife. I don't know if many of y'all know Trey. Trey's dad was my principal in high school. He gave me about paddling about every day. And I did get to preach a revival where he was there, and I'd had a bunch of sermons planned for him, but he had a family issue come up and couldn't attend but one night, but I was going to wear him out every night, but it didn't work out. But Trey is, if you never heard Trey's story, Trey got addicted to pornography, led into an affair, and he and his wife divorced, and then they reconciled, and through that, God started a ministry. So they do this ministry pretty much full time in Birmingham. I think they go all over the country. The name of their ministry is Undone Redone, and it'll be great. So if those of y'all would like to, we could go over there that evening and be with them. It'd be a great time to learn about how to be on the watch out for this stuff in the digital age and how to be more secure. This morning, do we have any prayer requests before we get started? Anybody? Here, Miss Louise, is she's got to go for some tests, and may have to have some surgery here close, so y'all be much in prayer for her. Remember, my mom is, we'll get more answers this week, but y'all be in prayer for her and us is like a pretty tough battle coming up, so just pray. Okay. Remember that. Do we have any others?
Remember my dad.
Yes, he is Missy's dad. Y'all know had open heart surgery, and then they've moved him to the nursing home over here for rehab. And he's getting better, but still got a ways to go. So y'all remember him. And I remember the family as they helped take care of him. And, you know, a lot of times we look over those caretakers. Let's remember those caretakers. And also remember Miss Pat, as she'll be her grandson is coming back to Heflin for a few weeks, and I think it's supposed to be Monday, so she's looking forward to that next Monday. She's really looking forward to it, and y'all just pray for safe travel, and I know how ready she is for that reunion. And pray for her, you know, at her age, her heart can't handle a lot of that excitement. So y'all pray the Lord keeps her calm. Yes, remember Maudie, as she has had some tests done also. Been dealing with some pain, so I think y'all go tomorrow for some results for those tests, see what's going on, try to get her some help. I said this morning in Sunday school, there's trouble and pain and hurt in every family. If there's any family here that doesn't have trouble or problems or anything going on, raise your hand. There shouldn't be any hands because we all have problems. We all have pain, struggles, heartaches, and rough times. I said in Sunday school, I don't see how anybody makes it without the Lord, number one. I don't see how anybody makes it without a church family, without people to lean on and to be there for them. So in this time, I know I have seen, which we just got some news Monday about Mother, but I've seen this week truly how God sends people at the right time. I've had calls after calls, even strangers that I would talk to at work, and just God sends them at the right time. And that's what we are to be. So God wants to use you, allow him, let him use you, and be there for somebody. Any other prayer requests?
Johnny Bond.
Yes, Johnny, is he getting proven?
He is. He's home, but he's still really sore and short-winded.
Y'all remember him. Miss Louise? Amen. I feel led to do something this morning, a little different. This is totally biblical. Get Miss Louise, if she would, to come up front.
Ma'am.
we start in prayer anyway. So we'll get Miss Louise come up and we will, the Bible speaks of laying on hands and praying. I don't think there's nothing wrong with that. So she would come up front and we will pray for her. Everyone that would come up and we'll have prayer and we'll start service out the right way. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning thanking you for how wonderful your name is, for how magnificent you are. We thank you for your glory. And God, we ask you this morning that you touch Miss Louise in a mighty way. God, as she has come this morning for prayer, and Lord, we know that she stands in need of it, and as we all do, Father, we ask that you touch her body. God, we ask that you not only touch her body, we ask that you encourage her spirit, and that God, that you be with her through every step of the way. God, we ask that you touch the doctors, and you just let them know the way to treat her. But God, we know that you're a miraculous God, and you can do things that doctors can't even imagine. And we ask if it be your will that you take care of this problem. God, that you touch her. And God, you can heal her if it's your will, and I know that. And God, I ask you to touch my mother. I know you can do that also, and there's nothing too big for you. God, every other problem that's been mentioned this morning in prayer request, I ask that you would touch in those families, touch in each situation. God, just remove the problem. And God, let us have faith to know. The Bible teaches that faith, a grain of mustard seed, can move mountains. And God, help us to have just that much faith. Lord, we ask you this morning to be with all these other prayer requests that's been made known. Lord, we ask that you would touch in each one of those problems and just be in our service this morning. Lord, let us feel that Holy Spirit as we've never felt before. And God, as we come to preach, I pray you would give us words to preach and open hearts and minds that we may receive it. And God, go with us in all these blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Love you.
I love you.
Please stand and join us in our call to worship.
Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, a kindness of a Savior. The hope of nations. Can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. As you find me, all my fears and failures, fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Yes, I surrender. Savior, the mountains, my God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. through your Holy Spirit, conceiving Christ the Son. Jesus, our Savior, I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. Our judge and our defender suffered and crucified. Forgiveness is in.
Gospel in a as good as you could preach it, one song. Appreciate that music this morning. Appreciate our singers every time as they stand. They do a wonderful job, and when visitors come, they make me look good. So I appreciate you coming. Sad thing is, they hear that, then they have to hear this. So they get kind of put some back from where they started. Good to have everyone this morning. Excited about this message. Began praying about what to preach this morning, and got a book that I had bought at a revival a few weeks back from me and Stephanie went to a revival and heard Brother Bob Sanders from Tennessee preach, and done a wonderful job, and he had books on the back, so I bought several books, and one of them was a book on the apostles. And as I began reading it, there was a couple things that stuck out to me. And as I was reading, I told y'all the other day about how technologically advanced I have gotten, of how now I take notes on my iPhone. And so I tapped in my iPhone a couple of those thoughts that come to mind. And as I was preaching this, as I was praying about what to preach this morning, the thought come to my mind. It was a thought that he asked in his book. His thought was, what is it that you love too much to follow Christ? What is it that you love too much to follow Christ? As I began studying this out, and the scripture that come to mind was in Luke chapter 9, verse 57 through 62. If you would, turn over there, Luke chapter 9, verse 57 through 62. As you're turning over there, I will go ahead and start a little bit and let you know that as I began thinking about this question, the first thing coming up in my mind, would it be certain sin that was more important to me than God is? And you could answer yes to some of that, or was it certain things, bad things even, that would keep us from following Christ? And for some people it is, but in these verses and in the scriptures you'll find where many people who decided they wouldn't follow Christ, it was because of good things. Because of good things that we have, even that we tend to put before God. And then you'll see here in these verses that these were some good things these men liked. But the Bible tells us that even good things can become idols. They can become something that we put before God. And this morning, I think we're all guilty of this. And you may leave here today a little upset at me because some of the things that I'm going to point out, but don't blame me, blame the Bible. And you can't blame the Bible because a perfect one wrote the Bible, so you just got to deal with it and go forward. So this morning, I want you to think about this question. What is it that you love too much to follow Christ? Now, before we get started, have you ever thought about what it's like to follow Christ? Now, if you will study about his life, he was pretty tough to follow Christ. He didn't have a home. He didn't have a bunch of money. He didn't have any of these things. And matter of fact, he was probably one of the worst recruiters I have ever saw. If he was a pastor today, Rudy, he'd be run off. Because he went from all kinds of followers down to about 12 in a hurry. And it's because of hard sayings the Bible teaches that many turn back. But listen, today we've still got these hard sayings, and they're still hard to deal with. And because of this, many people tend not to truly follow them. And I tell you this, everybody that's sitting in a church house this morning is not following Christ. Everybody who is sitting at their house today watching TV preachers, they are not following Christ. There's many that's doing many other things, maybe be missionaries, that I want to tell you this morning that are not following Christ. They're following maybe some good morals, maybe they're following a lot of things, but they are not following Christ. And these men here had a desire to follow Christ, they thought, but Jesus pointed out some things, and they decided that maybe this following Christ thing wasn't for them. As I begin thinking about follow, you look up the word, and it means close. It means close, or even one part of the Greek and Hebrew means to be a part of. It's what a follower truly means. And these kids these days, they say that I got so many followers. You ask them how many people's on or whatever they got, Twitter or any of this other stuff, and they'll say I've got 1,500 followers or 2,000 followers and all this. And boy, you're really popular if you've got the more followers you've got, the better you are. And as you follow somebody, you see that you begin to line up with the things they line up with. You begin wearing the clothes they wear. You begin saying the sayings they say. You begin going to places they go. You truly follow them. So today, how many people do we honestly have that are following Christ? And I think you'll see as I get done, not many. Even the Bible says it, there's not many. So in Luke chapter 9, verse 57 through 62, and it come to pass as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. God, we thank you for your many blessings. And Lord, we thank you for the ones that's here this morning. God, I ask you to open hearts and open minds as we come and try to preach this in a way that's pleasing to you. Number one, we ask your spirit would be in our midst. And God, that we would listen to him. And whatever you say, I'll say. And whatever you say, shut up, I'll shut up. But God, I ask you to draw those to you this morning. Father, I pray we leave here as more people wanting to truly follow Christ this morning. And all these blessings we ask in Jesus' name, amen. I want you to see, as we start this thing, about the first one here, and I got to, if you have to really study this out, you have to go back to the book of Matthew and begin learning about this man. Jesus tells this man in verse number 57 of chapter 9, he says, "And it come to pass as they went away, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee wheresoever thou goest." And Jesus begins telling him that the foxes have holes, the birds have nests, everything that lives in the woods has a place to stay. Even the deer have a place to live, even the fish in the sea have a place to go. They lay their eggs, they have a home to go to. But Jesus in this day did not have a home on this earth. At this point, he was just a vagabond, if you will, going around preaching and teaching. And he said, "Hey, I want you to understand something, buddy. If you're going to follow me, you may not even have a home. You may not even have a place to lay your head. You may not even have any money. You may not have any of this thing." But listen, when you go back to Matthew and you begin looking, the Bible says this man was a scribe. A scribe, in that day, a scribe was a pretty high up fella. He was equivalent to the writers I read about, said he was equivalent to the Secretary of State at our time. He would go and write about the decrees of the king. He would write about what the king said to do, and he would write about all these different things from the government. So he was a pretty important guy. So in saying that, this man had a little bit of money. He had probably had a comfortable home. He probably had a comfortable car. He had many things comfortable. But listen, Jesus told him, said, "If you're going to follow me, you're going to have to forget about your comfort." And I begin thinking about us. That's probably the number one reason in our country that people will not follow Christ is because of comfort. Hey, y'all, we are a spoiled people. Do you understand that? We are a people that are so spoiled that we can't stand it when our DirecTV goes out. How many times will you complain when the clouds get in front of it and it gets all doing this stuff and you can't see the ball game? Oh, boy, you get fighting mad. Or whenever you get in your car and if something don't go just right with your car, you get all upset and you get all beside yourself. And listen, we are living in a time of comfort, and we have put it before God if we would be honest. I begin thinking about comfort. And I thought as I was reading this and studying this, I said, we'll be in church that morning as I'm preaching that. And as I look around, I'll see many comforts in our church. I see padded pews. I see projectors that you don't even have to look at your Bible because you got bad eyes like I do. Boy, that really helps. And listen, you don't have to do anything. We are so advanced in this church that if you get hot, you can pull out your cell phone and change it with your phone. And if you want to be warm when you get here, you can pull out your phone. You can set the temperature 100 miles away or 1,000 miles away. I bet you they got a way. I know on an iPad back there, they touch it and the lights come on. I bet you they got a way they can do that on their phone. Well, you can do anything these days. And listen, there's some of us sitting here, and I've been in some of y'all's houses. Number one, that one right there, you can speak to a little dot, and it'll turn your lights on. Hey, how much are we addicted to comfort this morning? You don't have to do anything for yourself. It'll dim your lights. It'll turn your radio on. It'll turn your TV on. You don't even have to dial numbers anymore. You can say, better not say, "Hey, Siri, everybody's phone a call." But listen, you can say, "Where's mine at?" Because it'll start calling. You can say, "Hey, Siri," I do it going down the road all the time now. I thought, man, and I was in a little car, drive a different, oh boy, I get on some crazy stuff preaching. I drive a different car every day home from work, and the one I've been driving lately don't have electric windows. And I get in that thing, and I go to the drive-thru, and I think, this is the stupidest thing anybody ever invented. Who wants manual windows? We are completely spoiled by comfort. Now listen, I'm not against comfortable things. Y'all know that if you've ever seen me. I love comfortable things. But listen, am I putting it before God? Am I putting my comfort before what Jesus has called me to do? Listen, if you're going to work for God, I promise you, number one, you're not going to be comfortable. He's not going to call you in a comfortable place. When I first started preaching the gospel, being in front of people was the most uncomfortable place of my life. But let me tell you some good news. He will make that place comfortable. Right now, it's the most comfortable place I can ever be in life. It's behind where I'm at right now. It's my favorite place to be in the whole world. No place I'd rather be this morning. I'd rather be doing this than I would fishing at Lake Weedowee or any of those other things that I like to do. I would rather be doing this so he can take something that's uncomfortable and he can make it comfortable to you. But listen, this man would not follow because of his comfort. How comfortable have you gotten this morning? We're so comfortable that we don't want to speak up. We don't want to speak up to a stranger. We don't want to speak up to people we run into. We're afraid we'll lose a little bit of that comfort. We don't want to go help people as we should because it takes getting out of our comfort zone. We don't want to go talk to this special group because it takes a little uncomfortableness. We don't want to do anything because we have gotten so used to this comfort. But look right here. Let me show you something. In Deuteronomy Chapter number 1, verse 6 and 8. 6 through 8. These people had gotten used to some comfort. And listen, let me tell you what they had gotten comfortable to. They had gotten comfortable walking around in a wilderness. They had gotten comfortable wandering in a wilderness for all these years. They had gotten comfortable. They didn't even want to go where God was leading them to go. Listen to this verse. The Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, you have dwelt long enough in this mountain. Turn you and take your journey and go to the mount of the Amorites, to all the places now unto, and to plain the hills and the vale in the south, and by the seaside to the land of the Canaanites, unto Lebanon, to the great river, the river Euphrates. And behold, I have set thee a land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and their seed after them. Listen, church, God has promised you that if you'll get out of your comfort zone, there's something better waiting on you. The sad thing is, most of us decide to sit right here on this pew and not follow Christ. How many times in the scripture did you ever find where Jesus told them, if you're going to follow me, you come to a comfortable church house, you sit down on a pew, and you absolutely do nothing? You will not find that anywhere in the scripture because he taught that if you're going to follow me, you're going to lose some comforts. Why did the children of Israel not want to go over across to the other side, to the land of Canaan that had been prepared for them? The number one reason is they got comfortable in Egypt, and then when they left Egypt and they got into the wilderness, they got comfortable in the wilderness. My friend, even a child of God can get comfortable in a wilderness that God never planned for him to be in. And sad to say, a lot of us would tend to stay in that wilderness and wander in a comfortable place that's out of the will of God, that's not in a place God would have us to be, than we would to cross over and go to a place that God has planned. Church, I'm telling you this morning, if you're going to follow Christ and you're going to hear it again and again, you cannot be comfortable. You cannot. Jesus said the foxes have holes, the birds have nests. But I want you to understand something. If you're going to follow me, you're probably not even going to have a house. You go scribe, you're spoiled. So if you want to be a scribe, you stay and be a scribe. If you want to be a follower of me, you must take up your cross and follow me. He loved comfort. Let's move on. Boy, this is going to sound weird. He loved family. The second love, family. You say, no, wait a minute, preacher. You tell us all the time that this thing, family is ordained before the church. Yes, it was. But listen, family is not to be put before God. It's not to be put before God. And boy, I'm fixing to make some people real mad this morning. If not y'all here, those that's on here on Facebook or here online or somewhere else, somebody's going to hate me for this morning. But I'm going to say it anyway. We put so much of our kids above what God has called us to do. The reason that so many people say they don't have time is because of those children that God has blessed us with, that we have taken them and put them before Him, and we use all of our time for them and have no time for Him this morning. You don't believe me? I promise you, if you went to Chocolate Park right now, and y'all, I love baseball, I love softball, I love all kind of sports, but you cannot put it before the Lord. And as many church people that have their kids in travel ball, they go somewhere every weekend, and it's keeping them out of the house of God, it's keeping them their service from God, and you can get mad at me if you want to, but I believe it's scriptural to every time we can be in the house of God and to serve God, to be there. And listen, if you're going to follow Him, you must be around Him. But we've taken those and say, I want this one. Boy, he needs to be in travel ball because he's got a future in baseball. You realize something? There is a 1.something-something chance that a 12-year-old baseball player will ever play in the MLB. And y'all saw this on Facebook, but I'm going to quote it anyway. There is a 100% chance they're going to meet God. A 1% chance they'll play MLB. A 100% chance that one day they're going to stand before the Lord and they're going to listen. Oh, what's it going to be like in that day? Whose fault is it going to be? Church, I'm telling you something. I have done the same thing. I do the same thing. We have put family above Jesus. Do you understand what Jesus did to this one? If you go back and you study these verses about following Him, you'll see that the other two said to Jesus, I want to follow you. But Jesus called this man to follow Him. Listen to what the verses says. It says in Jesus, you go on down, it says, he said unto another, follow me. That follow me is written in red. So Jesus told this man to follow him. And why did Jesus tell this one to follow him? Listen, he says, but he said, Lord, suffer me to go bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. God had called him to be a preacher. And listen, his dead dad didn't matter to him anymore. What mattered to him was to preach the gospel. If God has called you to do something, do not put family above Jesus. Boy, that ain't fun. Now listen, what does it mean for the dead to bury the dead? I thought about this yesterday when I was running. I think a lot about preaching when I'm running. It keeps my mind off I'm about to die. But I was thinking about this. I believe what this verse meant, Terry, was let those that are doing absolutely nothing for the kingdom of God, even they may be saved people, but let those who are not doing anything to advance the kingdom of God, let them go take care of the dead. Let them go take care of the dead. And those that have been called to preach, you go preach the gospel. You do go do what Jesus called you to do. And listen, there's plenty of people in your family that don't care about the things of God. There are plenty of people, if they do care about God, they're not doing anything for God. They're one of them that's sitting on a pew. They're doing absolutely nothing. He says, you let them go deal with the dead. You let them go deal with the sick. And you go and you preach the gospel. Listen, there's nothing more important in this world than preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nothing. Not mama, daddy, a brother, sister. There's nothing more important than preaching the gospel. He had called him to do it. He had to do it. He loved family. It tells us in the Bible to honor our father and mother. But nowhere will you ever find it where it says honor your father and mother before you do me. You'll not find it. He said, let the dead bury the dead. Listen to this. If you begin to study this verse out, you'll think, you'll find out, this is what my opinion, I think you'll find out that many have used family as an excuse not to follow Jesus. Many have used their family as an excuse not to follow the will of God in their lives. You look in Matthew chapter 10, verse 36-38. This is pretty evident in these verses. And a man's foes shall be, what does it say? They have his own household. You know what a foe is? It's an enemy. A man's enemy. Listen, an enemy is necessarily somebody who wants to kill you. An enemy can be any person that's keeping you from the will of God. Because your most important thing in your life is the will of God in your life. That should be the most important thing. Following Jesus should be the most important. And sadly to say, a lot of us has used the foes of our household to keep from following Jesus. I have saw people do it where God is calling them without a doubt to be a missionary. And they say, I cannot go. I cannot leave mama. I cannot leave daddy. I just simply cannot go. And listen, turn on over to the next verse. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And that he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. My friends, that's not fun to preach, but it's the truth. We should not put anything of our children, of our mothers, our daddies, or anybody above Jesus. Now listen, you are the whole family very dear, but you never should make up an excuse where you put family above the Lord. And I believe if your family really has a need, that God will meet it. If he's called you with obligations to work for him and to follow him, I believe he will meet that need. You're sitting there thinking, boy, I hate that little short feller. This is not me, this is Bible. And he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. We all have different crosses. We all have different crosses to bear. But are you guilty this morning of loving family more than God? God's will for your life is for you to be true followers of him. He will lead if you will follow. Leading may take you away from family. And family is dear to God and should be to us, but it cannot surpass our call to follow Jesus. Lee McDaniel is one of the greatest examples to me because I know him personally. I know his family personally. And there's other people in y'all's family that y'all know that have done the same thing, but I don't know them, so I'm going to use Lee. God called Lee into the mission field. Lee had a house, was it North Carolina, Jane? Somewhere he had a home, he had nice cars, he had good jobs, he had everything. God called him on the mission field. Lee sold everything he had. His mother and father live in Trickham Valley, Alabama, or around that area. He left every bit of that to go follow where Jesus was calling him to. He got a car that somebody gave him when he got back over here one time, I think. But he don't have a lot of material things to his name. But I believe he's doing, to best of my knowledge, to follow Jesus no matter where he sends him. And my friend, if you're willing to go to Africa, I'm all for you. If that's where God's called you, but listen, I believe there's a lot of us today that God is called to be serving him in Heflin, Alabama, and following him in Heflin, Alabama, and bless God, we won't follow him here, so what makes us think we'll follow him over yonder? We put family. I have seen it in my own life. Whenever I was called to preach down in called to go pastor down in Lineville, or Ashland, wherever you want to call it. It's really Ashland, but they hate Ashland so much, they make you say Lineville. And that's the truth. Went down there. Abby would always pray for us when we get to a church as I'd go out and preach. And Abby prayed that morning, Lord, if this be the place, just let us know if it's where we'd be to preach. I said, you hush your mouth. It's 50 miles from home. Mom and Daddy's a long ways from there. All of our stuff at school's a long ways from there. We just cannot do it. My friend, I want to tell you something. Your will, your call to follow Jesus is way more important than anything else you have. And when we get to that in our mind, if we can get that through our heads, then we can truly start to follow the Lord. What is keeping you this morning? What are you loving so much that is keeping you from following Christ? You got to understand something else about when these men was coming to Jesus. Oh, it looks good to come into the church house and even come up to the altar and say, God, I want to follow you wheresoever you send me. God, I want to do what you call me to do. But you must understand, as these men was talking to Jesus, he was perceiving their thoughts. He knew the intents of their heart. He knew it before the world began what he had called them to do. He knew everything. He knew more about them than they would ever know about themselves. So as they was coming about burying their father and about all this other excuses, he was saying in himself, boy, you ain't nothing but a big liar because I know the intents of your heart. He knows today why you will not follow him. This is just three little things I'm preaching about. There are many reasons you are not following Christ. I believe you're saved this morning. I believe probably everybody in this building probably knows the Lord and a free pardon of sin. If you don't, you can today. But there's some reason that you will not just turn loose and be a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about what it means not having a home. I'm talking about what it means not seeing after the family like the world says you're supposed to and doing everything. I believe that, listen, it keeps us from that. And the comfort, boy, that's a bunch of it because we all like comfort. Now listen, I preach a lot about this church, the comforts we have, but I don't want you taking out the air conditioner, brother. I don't even want you taking out that heater thing because I use it. I'll leave home, it's 20 degrees, and I'll turn my phone on 68. When I get here, that office is nice and warm. I think, boy, I don't see how them old preachers did it without Google and thermostats on their phone. I love the comforts, but church, don't let us put it before the Lord. The first one, love comfort. The second, love family. Listen to what this last one loved. He loved the past. He loved the old life. He loved the old life. He loved looking back of what it was to live in that old life. Just as those children of Israel looked back to Egypt. You remember when God called them to go over that river? What'd they say? Hey, did you just bring us out here to starve us? What in the world are you doing? I love being in Egypt where at least we had onions to eat. That's what they said, leeks and onions. I like being over there. Listen, we look back and see how much fun we thought we had at that point. As I was driving in here this morning, I saw a fella hooked up to his bass boat. I got down here and I saw another one come by with his bass boat, and I saw another one. I began thinking, man, about 15 years ago, I didn't have a problem going with them. Hey, it wouldn't been any problem for me to miss church. Wouldn't been any problem for me to say somebody was sick or all this stuff to make up something. It probably wouldn't have been a problem. But listen, this morning, and I know the call that God's had on my life, and I fail him in many ways, but I'm going to do my best to do what he's called me to do. This one liked looking back. Listen to verse 61 through 62. Another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which is at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Are you looking back? Are you missing? Are you letting the call of the past and what's in the old way hinder you from being what Jesus has called you to be, which is a follower of him? He needs followers today. He's got enough pew sitters. He's got enough other proclaimers. He's got enough confessors. He's ready for some possessors. Some that loves him enough, that's crazy enough about him, that don't care what the world thinks, that's not worried about comfort, that's not even worried about the family stuff. Now listen, don't leave here saying, I said your family wasn't important, because it is. God teaches that. Honor our father and mother. It's well with a child, even promises long life if you do that. And other things, but listen, we got to put him first, and we cannot look back. I want you to think for just a second. We're about to close. This man had just met the King of Kings face to face. He was speaking with him physically as I'm speaking with Landon. I'm going to wake him up. He was speaking to him face to face. He told Jesus, he said, I will follow you. Wheresoever you tell me, you send me to go. God, whatever you tell me to do, I'll follow you. Jesus is saying to him, no, you won't. Right now you want to go back home. Right now you want to go back to what was back there. I have called you from this day to go forward. I have called you to forget everything in the past and go to what lies in the future. Church, that's what we've been called to do. That past is forgiven. It's behind us. It does not matter anymore. And what do you think about this? What do you think about it's time for us to stop following the Lord? It's for us to become true followers of Jesus Christ and wherever He bids you to go. If it's Heflin, Alabama, brother, you go with all your heart. If it's China, then brother, you go with all your heart. If it's anywhere, you take off. And I promise you something, God will bless that. But today, what is keeping you from following Jesus? Neither of these things I preached about are terrible sins. It didn't say that this fellow was addicted to meth that kept him from following Jesus. It didn't say this fellow was an alcoholic. This fellow was an adulterer. It didn't say this fellow was a thief. It didn't say these fellows anything. These was good people who was wanting to follow Jesus. It's Jesus pointed out that it's usually the good things that keep us from following Him. Matter of fact, some of those that have been addicted to the drugs, addicted to this, or had the extramarital affairs, or had these things that God has cleaned them up from, most of the time these people are more followers than we are. We let these comforts and this family. Oh, and this looking back, keep us from following the Lord. I want to give you a good example. This man named Elisha in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 20 through 21. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee. Listen, this is going to sound familiar. He left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, then I will follow thee. This is what Elijah said to him. Go back again. What have I done to you? He returned back from him, took a yoke of oxen, slew them, boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave them to the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. This fellow had nothing to look back to. He had just burned his business. He had killed his business. He had took his business and burned it up. He had boiled the flesh of it. Yes, he had 11 more yoke left, but listen, this was Elisha's sign that he was following wheresoever God called him to do. He had burnt the past. The past didn't matter to him no more. He even done it in such a way that even if he wanted to go back, he didn't have any plows. Even if he wanted to go back, he didn't have any more oxen. He was down a yoke of oxen. He didn't give himself any excuse of why he could not follow God. And you and I today, if we'll be honest with ourselves, do you not make excuses of why you cannot follow Jesus? Yes, you do. I use one every morning, it seems like, or every day. Saw somebody yesterday that I hadn't saw in a long time. Should be ashamed. I'm even in the town she's in once or twice a week. She said, oh, it's so wonderful to see you. And I said, I just don't have time. I thought of that. Boy, you're such a liar. You have time to do what you want to do. You have time to look at that phone. You have time to look at that Facebook. You have time to look at that TV. You have time to get out in the yard and do what it is you want to do and do all these things. Why won't you follow me? Comfort. Family, and looking back. What about you this morning? What is it that you love more than Jesus? You say, well, I don't love anything more than Jesus. No, now you can tell me that, but you're dealing with one that knows the intents of your heart. You're dealing with one that knew you before you were in your mother's womb. You're dealing with one that knows everything about you, and He's asking you this morning, what is keeping you from following me? He asked these three men this. There was even a spot where rich young ruler came to him. Said, Lord, what must I do to be saved? He began telling him, and it said he went away sorrowful because he had much possessions. There's a lot of stuff you could preach about that keep a man from following Jesus. We've talked about three this morning. Now comes the time for you to decide what that thing is that's keeping you from following Jesus. If it's comfort, that one's easy. We can do away with that pretty easy. Hard to do away with family. If we could, we'd trade them in, wouldn't we, some of them. But we can't. We got to put them in the right perspective. Our children, listen, I know I preached a lot about ball and different things this morning. I'm not, y'all, Ashton plays ball. She has since she was little. Amberly cheerleaded, all this other stuff. Abby wrecked cars. They all had a hobby. I understand. I want them to have the best. You want them to have the best. Don't let that child be more important than following Jesus. He's the most important thing you have. Matter of fact, he is the only thing you have that's eternal. One day, if nature takes its course, you will pass and go to be with the Lord. That child will be here. Yes, they'll have memories. According to the Bible, one day we'll see them again. Boy, that's a hope, isn't it? That's a blessed hope. Don't let that, our families, or anything else, keep us from following the Lord. If everyone would, please stand. I don't know anybody's heart. I don't know anybody's mind this morning. But I do know for certain that God had laid that message on my heart. The Bible says he don't send messages out in vain. He accomplishes what it's sent to do. There may be somebody here this morning that's putting comfort. The comforts of afraid of losing the comforts is keeping you from doing what it is Jesus has called you to do, which is follow him. You may have family, and that's even a good excuse, but it's not good enough. Is looking back keeping you from following Jesus? If it is this morning, I invite you to come to this altar and give it to him. Lay it down, say, Lord, take it. Take this thing and take it away. Lord, show me how to manage my time. Show me how to manage the comforts that I don't put them above following you. When you go to visit, we have in each one next week where we invite one person. Each person invites one person to church. And I guarantee somebody in this building could honestly tell me that somebody you invited uses this excuse. Sunday's the only day I have to rest. I can't come Sunday. I was listening to the radio, and we're doing all things we can to try to meet people's needs as a church. One church has changed to having Saturday night to try to see if that's going to help them grow. I believe we're to reach people in any way it is, but church, we're not supposed to bend anything. The Bible plainly teaches that after the resurrection, the church met on the first day of the week. Amen. I know in the past some churches met on Sunday night when farmers and all this stuff, the church I come from did it in the 40s. But listen, we're making so many excuses and so much stuff in our life we're putting before Jesus. What about you today? If you've heard and the Lord let you know it's his place to serve out of, we'll accept members any way the gospel authorizes. As she plays, if you need to come for anything, you come.